So officially, again, welcome everybody on this beautiful August day of the 14th, 2011. We are so glad to be joined in the power, the presence, and the name of Yeshua, who is here among us all, each in our own way, to give us the blessings we need. And those blessings will be unique for each person according to that which your heart desires, that which your life requires. And please know that even if you cannot capture all of the things you need in your mind, and you never can because your mind really doesn't know all the answers or all the requirements of your life, so even if you can't list it in your mind or verbally in your prayers, God knows your needs. And so in these calls, I really do recommend that you surrender as much as possible to just receiving. And have as your principal prayer that you be most open in all ways to all the blessings of God, and also be open to discover the blessings that have already been given, which you've either not found yet or not received with gratitude so that you truly can use them. We've spent several weeks on some pretty challenging topics, such as fear and what would we do if we were not afraid, and other negative attitudes we use to block the blessings of life. So I thought it would be a refreshing change to talk about all of the positive things we can do to open ourselves up to more of the blessings of life. And I think that's very well attuned to taking some comments from people who have been experiencing the blessings in a positive way and correlating it with their life. We haven't given very much time for group participation in the last few weeks because the messages I had to offer were so chewy. They were complex, intense, and chewy. And so I felt that the too much dialogue would probably just add a bit too much to the complexity. But since we're on a very light and positive topic today, I think it would be a great time for us to hear from some of you. So remember, five-star, this is a five-star experience, and that is your gateway into, and it's so funny because what comes, I did not design the switchboard for this conference call site, but whenever you push five-star, a little blue heart comes up. And I think that's so interesting that it's a question mark inside a little heart. Very sweet. So any of you that would like to comment, I'm here. I'll be taking a little drink of water, and I suggest that all of you do the same. Now, if you have also muted your own telephone, which I think a lot of you must have done because there really wasn't that much background noise, you'll have to unmute your own telephone before that five-star will work. Well, my goodness, I'm just looking at a very, very silent audience today. So it looks to me like I'd better begin. And I will keep scrolling through because this is the kind of lighthearted message that don't worry about jumping into the middle of it because we can deal with more varieties of input and a little more complexity today. I just really want to talk to you. I want to pick up where we left off. I think it was about 4 weeks ago when we were talking about the importance of gratitude and expressions of gratitude for receiving the blessings of God. And I want to just tie that into a very human experience that we've all had. And let's just say that we receive a Christmas present or a birthday present, and it's something that's a little new to us. We're not totally familiar with it. Let's say somebody wants to surprise us and give us a new piece of technology or a new little add-on for something we do or an extra gadget, we're maybe a kitchen gadget we're not totally familiar with, and we think we're glad to give it, to get it, but for some reason we forget to send a thank you letter. And it's probably because we're really not all that excited about it. We're kind of scratching our head like, this learning to use this is going to probably be more trouble than it's worth. And so we just forget to send that thank you letter. And because we don't, our attention stays off of that gadget or that gift, or could be something very expensive, but we're just really not, we're kind of in denial of the fact that we've received it. But then all of a sudden we realize we're going to be seeing that person again in about a week. So we fire off a thank you letter because the guilt hits us. And then in the process of firing off that thank you letter, we think, well, you know, maybe I should look at this and see a little more what it is, because I don't want to feel like I've been completely neglectful of it. And then as we get into it, we say, wow, this is awesome. Why didn't I look at this before? Well, here's the reason. And this is something that I want to tell you about all the blessings that have already been given to you. Everything you need has actually already been given to you. But we're either not finding it, we're not acknowledging it, we're not using it, or we're not appreciating it in some way and allowing it to bring the benefits into our life that it was intended to bring. And the trigger point for starting that whole chain of events is actually gratitude. It's just saying, and sometimes when it comes to the blessings of God, we really don't know what's been given to us. And we just simply, it's simply enough to get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for a new day. I do have some challenges I'd like to have your help with, and I realize you may have already given all of this to me, and for some reason I just either haven't found it or appreciated it. Open my heart and open my mind that I may seek and receive and appreciate all the things that have been given to me. Well, that's a very good first step. The second good step is to start emulating and creating in your own heart, mind, and life the attributes of a person who is receiving blessings. The law of attraction is, you probably all heard about this by now, because it's been so hyped, in some ways, in wrong ways, by people who have a shallow depth of wisdom. But the law of attraction is absolutely true in that you attract who and what you are, who and what you do, who and what you believe. And there's no question about that. And it was one of the principal teachings of Yeshua. But here's the main way we attract things. Not with making mind-generated pictures, affirmations, and plans and goals. You've probably also heard the old adage that if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Well, see, that's the problem with mind-generated projections that we create there, and we just want to attract them, and all we're doing is attracting the results to our mind and not to our lives. If you want to really, really apply the law of attraction, you have to understand it's not so much what you create in your mind that you think you want as what you present in your life as being ready, willing, and eager to receive. The huge difference. Absolutely enormous difference. I was sent a promotion last week, actually, because this person is an old acquaintance of mine. We have been co-speakers at many seminars in the past, and he's written a new book that's simply intriguing. I can't tell you if it's that all that original compared to his other works. He's a great thinker and a great counselor, and I love his work. His name is Dr. Wayne Dyer. But he's also one of these writers that says the same thing sometimes in 20 different books with 20 different titles. So I can't assure you and promise you that this is an absolutely new thing. But it sounds a little bit new to me. And it certainly sounds like something I want to read, because he'll be presenting in secular language much of what Yeshua taught. And here's the title of the book: You Get What You Are, Not What You Want. Well, you see, Yeshua taught us that love is who you are. Focus on being the love that you are, and then all things are provided. A different way of saying that is another scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all other things will be provided. And, of course, he taught us that the kingdom of heaven is not somewhere in the clouds or in an afterlife. It's in our heart. It's the state of being we hold in our heart, the love that we are, and the quality of life that we create for ourselves. Now, an interesting thing I can also tell you about the teachings of Yeshua that are very, very relevant to this positive orientation toward blessings. In the almost 20 years I've been a representative of his, a spokesperson for his, and I guess you might say an evangelist in a way, in a modern kind of way, is that people would ask me if what I'm doing is, what religion is this part of? Or are you creating a new religion? And I say, I'll tell them, well, really, what I'm doing doesn't have much to do with religion at all. I realize that the teachings of Yeshua have been the foundation of a huge world religion called Christianity that has been refracted into many rainbow colors of many denominations. But actually, that religion wasn't created until in the 4th century. It was really called together by the Emperor Constantine and a few bishops that were in his good favor. So you can imagine the political aspects that were involved in creating Christianity as a religion. Before that, it was a pathway of love, of wisdom, of communal love, and I would say, if I were going to describe it in modern secular words, it was a new way of life, a new lifestyle. It was a lifestyle of spirituality, not a conformity of doctrine. Now, in saying that, I also want to acknowledge that he had the highest reverence and respect for the prophets that came before him and for his Jewish heritage. However, that isn't what he preached. That isn't what he taught. If you read the Beatitudes again, you'll see that he's talking about a better way of life, a lifestyle. And what resulted that allowed the first century Christianity, the first, second, and third century Christians, who were only sometimes called Christians, mostly they were called followers of the way, to survive despite the whole Roman Empire going after them, and even the Orthodox Jewish community banning them because they brought more hostile retribution from the Romans to the Jews. The Jews really didn't mind this new branch of messianic Judaism all that much in and of itself. What they minded is, what they really, really were upset about is that it brought more retribution from the Romans onto the whole Jewish community. So the Jews, the traditional Orthodox Jews, wanted to distance themselves from these new radical people who had viewpoints that Rome didn't like. And so they took great measures to set up distance. So this new group of people were pretty much isolated, which actually in the long run worked to their favor, because they didn't emulate so much the ancient traditions, and they adapted to the many, many traditions of life that they migrated into. And so what they actually created was what we would call today a new lifestyle. It was the lifestyle of love. There was charity, an absence of judgment, brotherly love, caring for one another, healing, reverence for God, reverence for life, for all of nature, and accumulated wisdom, not just from the teachings of Yeshua, but the accumulated wisdom of all the communities they drifted into, which is why we find the Christianity of Egypt a little different from the Christianity that emerged in India, from the Christianity that emerged in Syria or Russia, or then eventually in Ireland and England or the southwest of France. All of them were a little bit different because this was about a lifestyle. It was a new way of defining oneself from the inside out, not from the outside in, but the inside out, knowing the kingdom of heaven is within, and then utilizing all the good things of life that have been provided to create this new spiritual lifestyle. And it didn't even recognize or think of itself as a religion until it became so big that those in control wanted to utilize it as a controlled religion. And that's when the original teachings of Yeshua became adapted into another huge formula, which had also survived. And so in the many rainbow colors of Christianity, we find that only the truth unites them. Otherwise, they would all be fighting with each other, just as, you know, the wars in Ireland between the Protestants and the Christians went on for ages. And in Germany, in France, the Reformation wars and the Inquisitions and all these horrible things that happened. Still, the basic tenets that Yeshua left on the earth were so basic to the true heart, and so basic to adaptations of our life so that we create a lifestyle from the inside out, that we survived all of these religious insanities that have turned many people off to the teachings of Yeshua. But fortunately, love without end and the keys of Yeshua is bringing back the truth that has healed and brought salve to many wounded hearts and brought back much understanding. And that's what we're doing in the blessings today. We're offering these blessings to you, no matter what belief background you come from, no matter what your current beliefs are or disbeliefs. They're given freely, unconditionally, for you to make of whatever you wish. But now, in order to attract a blessing, doesn't it make sense that you would also want to see yourself as a blessing to the world? And you would want to focus upon those parts of yourself that really are giving a blessing to the world. This next week, make a list of the things about yourself that your friends like the most, that bring the most joy into your life, that are the most satisfactory to you in your work, that unite you mostly with your family, the community, that give you hope and constructive venues for life, and be all those things. It doesn't mean that your life will be limited to that, but you see, you cannot grow from where you're not. I attribute and thank my brilliant husband for giving me that. I always like to give attributions where they're due. But the fact is, it's true, and truth really belongs to all of us. I simply thank Larry for calling that part of the truth to my attention. You can't grow from where you're not. And so if you accumulate all the positive things that you are, doesn't it make sense that that's the basis from which you will attract more positive things, whether it's health, friends, relationships, more money, that sort of thing. Whatever it is, and don't even think about what you'd like to attract that you don't have. And let me tell you why. Because you're coming from lack. Now, you may say, but my mind is focused on the thing I want. Yes, but it's a thing you don't have, which means the power of your being can't attract it. There's the flaw in the manipulation of the law of attraction. Now, the law of attraction exists. It's a truth. But manipulated immaturely and ineffectively can get us exactly what we don't want. And I think that's what Buddha was talking about when he said desire is the source of all suffering. In the accurately translated, in the actual language of his day, that message accurately translated was expectation is the root of all suffering. Well, that's a little bit like, I would say, the misapplied law of attraction. Now, expectation can be many things. And sometimes we feel from in the depths of our being that we know good things are happening for us. That's coming from the kingdom of heaven within. That's from the inside out, from the very nature of our being. Okay? And in that sense, if that's what Buddha was talking about, then I would disagree with him. But I think what he was really referring to is all the misapplied manipulation of the law of attraction by creating expectations with our mind, which then is a feedback loop to one of the commandments that's coming from Moses where he said, do not covet. Well, you see, all of the Ten Commandments are really about success. We've interpreted them through the ages as being moral prohibitions, or at the very least, in a more positive language, moral guidelines. But really, they were pathways to success. If you read about the life of Moses, you'll see that he was one of the most brilliant psychologists and leaders, political leaders of people that has ever lived. And that's why I tease my husband about being Moses, because he has those same attributes. Again, thank you, Larry, for the anchoring and the inspiration there. But historically, let's look at the life of Moses. He was those things. And the success of his life is that he was those things. I don't think he formulated a plan for carrying off what he did. As a matter of fact, every time God came to him, he said first, well, I can't do that. I can't go in front of Pharaoh and make those demands. And God said, yes, you can. Walk in with your staff and demand it. And, of course, God turned the staff into a snake, scared the living bejesus out of the Pharaoh. Okay? Now, every time Yeshua has come to me, I said, no way. No way, Jesus. I'm not doing that. And he would say, well, take it in your heart and see if it's real. Just plant it as a seed in your heart and see if it grows. And every time it's grown. And then once the seed started growing, then it was the most natural thing in the world for me to do it. So I think the law, getting back to Moses then again, I think the prohibition on coveting is not that we can't desire to have a mansion on the hill, affluence in life, the best of relationships, to be a great benefit to the world and have these goals. It's just that we can't do it by imitating the life of someone else and forming these mental manipulations of expectation that are coming from lack in our life. In other words, we don't have it, and so we feel bad about ourselves that we don't have it. We feel unworthy. We feel a self-deprecation in a way. And we want to feel better about ourselves, and so in order to do it, we need that mansion on the hill. Well, then we're going to start forming these mental manipulations of the law of attraction, but they don't work. Then we invest our life in getting that goal, and you know what we do then? We ask ourselves, okay, who do I have to be, and what do I have to do to get that mansion on the hill? Oh boy, have we really stepped in the mud then. Because at that point, we've been willing to compromise our integrity and become someone we're not and do something we otherwise would not do in order to have that mansion on the hill. Now, we may put enough gunpowder in our gun that we get it, because there's nothing stronger than the focused will. We may get it, but we won't be happy. And we'll get it and we'll say, why did I ever want this? Because it didn't come from the right place. And that's what Moses was talking about. The things we seek in life that are not coming from the right place. And I think this really is what Buddha was talking about, because when it's coming from the right place, it's not the same thing as this manipulated law of attraction where we then expect what we've manipulated. It's different. And that's what he was talking about. Don't go through life expecting. There's a great Sufi story. Now, actually, it's Sufi, but originally it was from Taoism. And it's told different ways in both religions. In the Taoist version, I think it's in the Sufi version. A man's son is injured. I think he gets a broken leg, and his neighbors say, oh, that's so sad. I'm so sorry. But then a war breaks out, and they come to sign up all the available young men to go to war. I missed out one word. The old man says, well, maybe it's bad, maybe it's not bad. They come to inscript all the young men into war. Well, his son is exempted because of the deformed leg. And the neighbors say, oh, how fortunate you are. And then he says, well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Anyway, it goes on and on and on about, it just builds, and every time the old man says, well, maybe so, maybe not. And the point is, he's willing to capture the benefits of the moment without further building an expectation. So that is what Yeshua is talking about. First, seek the kingdom of heaven within and allow your blessings to unfold from the inside out. And then everything that you need to attract will be attracted truly because it belongs to you. It's right for you. And you will be made happier in having it. You won't be the person who sacrificed his integrity and his life to get the mansion on the hill that then makes you terribly unhappy, and your children get on drugs and you have a divorce and your life falls apart and you jump out a window. No. You know, those things, those tragic results come from false expectations that are built on emulating the life of another or resenting what other people have. And we either try to tear down what they have, we try to take what they have, or we try to find a way of having what they have, but in our own version. Yeshua says that's not the way to success. The way to success is to be the best person you can be and allow who you are to be the bringer of all your blessings, which is why the most important thing he ever told me is love is who you are. So I leave you with that for our inspiration today, and now we need to get into our blessing. Which is, we have some newcomers, I'm sure, on the call. And so, I would really like to, I would like to give you just a little brief, introduction here. I want you to take your, shoes and socks off, and, be in a seating, a seated position if your health will permit. With your feet on the ground. Now, the reason we do that is because when our feet are on the ground, we are connecting with the earth. It's almost like there's a little suction cup on the bottom of your feet. If you have to wear socks, okay. But next time, prepare. Prepare for this by not wearing socks made out of synthetic material. At least have cotton, wool, or silk. Silk is the best because it is the most alive and it's the most magnetic. And I really, really most love offering the blessings in a little silk caftan or silk pants and a little silk tunic and barefoot. Anyway, feet on the ground so that you will draw up the energy of the earth. And your spine erect, but not uncomfortably erect, just be so you can be relaxed, but upright because we invoke the law of gravity to bring us into harmony with the whole universe. These huge gravity waves go through the whole entire universe, affect our Milky Way, affect our solar system, pass through the sun and all the planets. Most especially they affect the moon and the moon's relationship to the earth. And the connection of the earth with this gravitational field seals us and unites us against any separation we may have engineered with our mind. We can engineer separation for many reasons. One is pain. Another is a sense of abandonment or rejection. Or disorientation, anger, sometimes ego. Sometimes we feel we're just so much better as spiritual beings, not realizing that God is present in all things. So, there can be many reasons we've separated, but this helps to heal the separation because without unity, you will not be healed. As the culminating event of all of Yeshua's blessings, he said, and your faith has made you whole. He would emphasize the wholeness. Now, the faith, well, the faith is what you surrender to in your heart. You let go of your mind that thinks it has all the answers. It's a good problem-solving machine, but that's what it is. We've talked about the mind many times. Set it on the park bench. Let go of it for now. It can't think its way through this. The whole blessing will be about 10 minutes long. The first 3 minutes will be a conveyance of energy from Yeshua through me or through all of the other blessing givers who are here to offer you a blessing. We are all like the copper wire extending from heaven to earth, helping to accelerate this energy. Now, why is it so important to accelerate the energy from heaven to earth? Okay, because most of your prayers are dual. You're praying for good things, but you're praying from a sense of lack. And one will cancel out the other. We're going to bring down enough energy that the good overpowers the sense of lack or any sense of denial or disbelief and strengthens your faith. So be in your heart where your faith is the strongest. Pray your prayer for the whole 3 minutes of the blessing. I will start with an invocation to Yeshua, and then from that point on, it will be all His energy moving through you. And I'll let you know when it's moved through you, then I want you to go rest and be rested with no state of cerebral consciousness brought in. Just be in a zero state, and it's okay if you fall asleep. Just don't think. Because this effect, the blessing needs to filter into all parts of your body, heart, soul, and being. And your autonomic nervous system, which controls your subconscious and your body consciousness, is better at distributing this energy. So thank you for being here with me, and I send you my blessings now, because I don't really want to say that much more from this point on. My words could trigger your cerebral thinking. So I love you. My blessings be with you. God be with you all week. And I'll let you know when the transformation, when the transmission of blessing has been done and the transformation is beginning. Here we go. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, Lord of the universe, the one who has taught us that God dwells within us also, and that all things you have done, we too can do. For all things you are, we also can be. Help us to know ourselves as the love that we are. Help us to collect into our life, heart, soul, and being all the good things that we are, that as we seek more blessings in life, we seek them from the blessing that we are. Thank you for touching us, walking with us, being with us, being our friend, our companion, our counselor, and our hope, knowing that we can do, we can receive all the blessings that God has given to us and meant for us to have, and that we can discover them, receive them, implement them, and add them to the whole nature of all that we are. Amen. energy transmission is complete. Go and rest now. I'll see you next week.